And hello, this is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And this is the first Monday evening. We started a little bit late because we had a little bit of a delay in the interview, but we are up and running. And we have Deepika. Is that how you pronounce your name?
Deepika.
Deepika. Sorry.
Hi.
Deepika Avante, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's, you are the author. And this is too loud. You're the author of Embracing the Miraculous, Attaining Optimal Health on All Levels.
Yes.
And usually what we do is start off with, you know, part of your personal journey. In your case, your book is part of your personal journey. So why don't we go through a little bit of, you know, what happened that kind of started you on this journey? And then we'll work through some of the questions as we go. But you know, it was a great book full of a lot of exercises and meditations, and then we went into some of the more physical things that people can do when they want a healing. So let's just chat a little bit about, you know, what it is that sort of brought you here, and then we'll talk about the book.
Well, I guess all my life I was looking at, so searching to more than just believe in Spirit or God, was to have an experience and to trust that. And it kind of came to a really amazing, where I couldn't delay anymore. It had to be nothing but that when I was told I had Graves' disease, hyperthyroidism. And the only way doctors knew of how to take care of the symptoms was to have radiation. Mm. And this inner voice said, do anything but have radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And the symptoms immediately got so bad that I was losing a pound a week. I lost my muscles. It hit so quick that I basically couldn't walk immediately very well, and I was left to just like crawling.
Mm-hmm.
And for 3 years I was in bed about 18 hours a day. I looked like a skeleton. My mind didn't work very well. I couldn't really put numbers together and how to use the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sort of like a roller coaster of emotions, going from tears to raging. So I couldn't even be centered enough to do any of my psychotherapy work. So that's what really got my attention. And when I asked this part that said, don't have radiation, you'll heal, when I asked this part that knew how to heal, how to do it, it would be one with spirit. And I'm like, if I knew how to be one with spirit, I wouldn't be in this mess. I've looked for this all my life. And so just get me out of this mess, and then I'll be one with spirit. And the voice said, no, that's not how it works. First, you become one with spirit, and then you heal.
Right.
So then I decided, well, I didn't know how to do it. To me, spirit was nebulous. I couldn't really touch it, see it, feel it, hear it. So I was just like, okay, well, if my heart feels drawn towards something, I'll do it. If I have a vision, I had worked with a Ute Indian shaman for 7 years and had gotten quite open to visions. And I was like, if I have a vision, I'll do it. If in meditation, I'd been a Buddhist for 20 years. If in meditation I get guidance, I'll do it. Just whatever I'm prompted to do, I'll do it in my attempt to be one with spirit.
Hmm.
So that's what really did it. I was told I would die.
Well, that's quite the incentive.
Yeah, that got my attention big time.
And you write in your book that you were tricked into God.
Yeah, it was like when you're told you're gonna die, then all of a sudden God takes priority. It's like I could put off and sort of think, well, when it's convenient, I'll follow guidance. But it was like it didn't matter if it was convenient or not. I was determined I was gonna follow. So I probably was following 95-98%
at that time.
At that point,
right.
For those 3 years. And then that actually got raised when I met a man named John of God in Brazil.
Right.
And watching him, he was a medium for these spirit doctors to come through, and basically his soul would leave and these spirit doctors would come through him. And what I saw him do was trust 100%. And so I decided to make a commitment. Now, this is after I had actually gotten myself healed.
Right.
To trust 100%. But the journey got very intense and the commitment got higher with the fear of dying.
But
and then it grew to just following 100% without the fear of dying.
Hmm. And it's quite a difficult thing to completely surrender and trust 100%. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, ask, well, how do you know the difference between your intuition or your soul and your connection with God versus your ego?
Well, that actually got easier working with John of God.
Okay.
Because when I would go into a meditative place where I felt centered and calm and peaceful, and I'd ask a question, a rush of energy would come into me with an answer or a vision, and it was always with this rush of energy, and it wasn't me creating the rush. It was like the universe meeting me and saying, here's your answer. And so it was very clear when the guidance came through that it wasn't my ego doing it. So that really helped me a lot, because when I'd gone to John of God and I'd asked the spirit doctors, known as the entity when he was channeling, I wanted to sense, feel, hear, see, know God exactly beyond a doubt. Then beyond a doubt became what I got. And also got the answers in 10 trips to the CASA, experiential answers, and those are the 40 exercises in the book, so everyone can enjoy really tangibly experiencing God by any name you want to use. Could be universal energy. I don't care what the name is, but how to experience that. And basically what I've done is give anybody this experience for $18 instead of $20,000 that I spent getting the experiences.
Mm. And you had quite the struggle yourself with regards to, you know, being able to name God and to, you know, the wording of, you know, religion versus spirituality and your preconceived judgments of, you know, how, I guess, we all, you know, one of our core issues would be abandonment from God. I mean, knowing that and working through that and understanding your own issues with the name God and how that came about for you.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't even say the word God. I had early childhood church experiences growing up in Salt Lake City with the Mormon church that I would almost throw up saying the word God or Christ. And I'm sure, you know, there's many people in this audience that have had childhood experiences that they have baggage like that. So, yeah, no, I couldn't even say the word, and I use the word spirit.
Right.
I can now say the word, but I, with my clientele, probably half of my clientele can't say the word God.
Right.
And that's fine with me. I mean, people use the word source, energy, cosmic, consciousness. I don't care what the word is. And in my book, I invite people to find out, well, what is the most powerful word for this higher self? This universal wisdom, what is the word that resonates with you?
I have to say that your, you know, putting in divine love would be, you know, probably one of the least judgmental of the, you know, the wording that we could use. I mean, it certainly is an all-encompassing definition for God and for energy and for source and for all that we are.
The word divine love?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody would find a problem. I don't think anybody could find a problem with that. So I like.
You wouldn't think so, but I've had some.
Oh, really?
Have to just use the word breath or energy.
Oh.
They could even say that.
Wow.
So.
But you've dealt with, I mean, because of your own trauma and the deep experience that you went through, you are now also assisting others that are at that state. And if they're at that state, I mean, there's clearly something, not only physically, but spiritually and mentally and emotionally that they need to deal with. And so when you're at that kind of place, you know, surrender should come. But I mean, I think to get there, there's a few steps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So living God's will, an act of surrender, how was that for you? Like, how did that, you know, obviously having death as a contributor, I mean, it's quite the way to impact you, but how did that sort of make you feel? Like, how did you, because most people don't trust, let alone are able to surrender. And that's, I mean, that's the next level. That's really, you know, as you said, taking that 100% commitment.
Well, I'd say, yeah, like you said, first there's the trust. I trusted because I was going to die.
Hmm.
And then after I met John of God, I trusted because I finally had this experience of this divine love, and I felt so loved, and I felt so in love that I was willing to trust and take risks. And then I was willing to follow 100%. And it was scary. To me, it's actually still scary. I don't know. It might be scary an entire lifetime. But my ego has this illusion that when it's in control, I know what's happening and it's safe. Though it's just an illusion, to me, it's none of us know anything, really. I mean, we don't know if we're going to be alive in the next minute or not. But most of us have the illusion that we know what's going to happen and what's going to go on. And so for some reason, yeah, my ego thinks that surrendering is a very scary thing. So I'll say, from the ego viewpoint, surrendering's scary, but at the same time, I've opened up to sensing this energy of divine love always pouring through my body. And when I'm scared, these voices come through and just say, we're here for you, we love you, or I love you, keep on going. And there's just all this love that goes, it's always with me, so that when I have guidance, I don't feel alone. I feel like I have a lot of support.
Mm.
So that makes it easier. But I don't know if for me the guidance is almost always new things and unknown things and growth and change.
Okay.
And I tend to be afraid of that. I bet you most of us tend to be afraid of growing and changing.
Mm-hmm.
So that on one hand, I'll have fear, say, coming up physically in my body from my feet. It seems to come up my legs and then my stomach. And at the same time, I feel this love coming down from my head down. And then I just have this decision, okay, I have found over and over and over that when I'm following this universal wisdom, this divine love, that it's always taken me to a place that's greater than where my ego would have taken me. And in the end, I'll be more fulfilled.
Hmm.
Maybe in the interim, there's difficulties and challenges. But looking back, I've been so happy with everything that I've followed.
Hmm.
I wouldn't have written the book except for that was a guidance to do that and just surrender and let it come through me. And now I'm really happy. At the time, yeah, it was like, why am I spending time doing this instead of making money? But I feel like now I have a lot to offer everybody in this book. Mm-hmm. And I'll be doing way more effective work by spreading this book to so many people that if I had just been working one-on-one with clients, I wouldn't have been able to help all the people that will have access to this book. So I feel like overall I'm making a way bigger difference, helping everyone more by following guidance.
Right. And how do you get to that place where you can, I mean, as we say, you know, your ego's the one that finds surrender and death, the scariest thing possible. So how do you, for people, you know, and I know that this is probably one of your last chapters about, you know, living in the moment. But, I mean, how do people truly get past that fear when, and I know you also have meditations, but how do people get past that fear and just trust? I mean, it's a difficult, I mean, you've had an experience that not a lot of people are going to be able to duplicate.
Well, I'm hoping in the book people get the, open up to sensing this energy that comes down from the heavens or up from the feet. So that, to me, I had to have something tangible. I'm a very experiential person. I couldn't just have a belief. I know there's a lot of people who can just believe it and do it. And if people need more than that, that's what I needed. So there's meditations to experience it. If people don't get it just reading it, then I also give classes. I give presentations where I'll have a whole audience, and as I'm doing a presentation, everybody feels this energy,
right,
or they see this light, or they sense the energy, or they feel this love,
mm-hmm,
or they get some sort of experience of it. And to me, that having that experience brings about a comfort and a trusting.
Right.
And it's kind of like a relationship, like you and I talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's that companionship that we start, oh, yeah, you really do care about me. I'm here for you. That exchange that we convey to each other,
mm-hmm,
that's what happened for me to start trusting this, that feeling like I really was cared for and I really did have support and love that brought about my trust.
Mm-hmm.
So it's even kind of like the trust fall. You know, you have a group of people and you fall back, and when you're caught, it's like, oh, yeah, I can trust more. I got caught. So when you get caught over and over and over again, it's like, oh, I'm still alive. I'm okay. I can trust again.
Right.
So it to me, it's practice. And believe me, I was a real stubborn person, because for 39 years, every single time I got guidance to do something, I'd go into major doubt, wondering, well, should I or shouldn't I? And if it was fun, it was like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll do it. This is kind of fun, this is amusing, or this is convenient, I'll do it. But if it wasn't convenient or fun, then I'd just sit and go back and forth, back and forth. In indecision.
Mm-hmm.
So I hopefully, there's not a lot of people who spent the majority of their life in indecision without following guidance.
Beautiful.
But for those people, I have a way to help you through.
Beautiful. What I would like to do before the evening is over is possibly actually get you to do a meditation so that people can have that experience.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But let's go back. So, divine love. How do you open up to divine love? I mean, you talk a lot about meditation. So the role of meditation, is that primarily how you connect and open up?
I was such a doer and such an active person that for me to get still,
mm-hmm,
and quiet and notice the subtleties really was the only way I would have ever experienced divine love.
Mm.
And to me, it's so subtle. It's kind of like feeling a 5-mile-an-hour wind. So if you put your hand 2 feet in front of you and blow, you'll feel a little wind.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling, this universal energy, is that subtle. And that's why I mentioned meditation. Because it's like we're so used to going fast. And I was into like the searching and looking mode, but I wasn't quiet enough to receive it.
Mm.
So, yeah, I do think meditation is, for those people who haven't experienced it, then they're probably like me, that there needs to be a slowing down and a going deep inside and a really opening our awareness to subtleties.
Mm-hmm. And you typically start your meditation with a relaxation where you kind of calm down your body and your mind to then begin, you know, a journey, which is what you've kind of outlined in your book, different experiences that people can have, and it seems to be kind of journey related.
Yeah, absolutely. So an easy way to do a relaxation that anyone can do right now, it sounds like we're going that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So go there?
Sure.
So it's just to tighten up every muscle of your body. So on the count of three, just tighten up your whole body, including like your face, your jaw, your eyes, and just hold the arms, the chest, the stomach, the legs, as long as you can, and make funny faces. And then when you can't hold it anymore, 1,000, 2,000, 3, then let go. Breathe deep. And this way, it relaxes the body, so then in this relaxed place, you're not so tense that you block out sensing or feeling. So that's the reason for relaxing. If there's total tension, then there's no way to absorb more feeling. And I actually suggest that everyone do this, say, three times. So let's do it again. So on the count of three, tightening up the entire body, the head, the face, the neck, the chest, the arms, the hands, the abdominal area, the hips, the upper legs, lower legs, the toes, every bit, and just hold it and tighten as much as possibly can. And 1, 2, 3, letting go. Whew. So can you feel that difference?
Mm-hmm.
And then for those that need it, can do it one more time. Just tightening up every muscle, holding it as long as you can. And letting go. And then going back and doing a scan from like the head, the eyes, the cheeks, the mouth, the chin. And just taking a scan. If there's any part that's tight, then just tightening up that little part and releasing. And going back through the neck area, seeing if that's relaxed, the shoulders, maybe doing a few circles there to see if that's relaxed, and the arms and the fingers and the hands. Continuing to scan down the body through the chest, the stomach area, the hips area. As I say, if you find a tight spot, just tightening that up, holding and letting go and breathing deep. Checking the upper legs, the knees, the lower legs, the feet. So we all have areas that we tend to tighten up and kind of become a habit of being tight. And just being aware if that is, go ahead and let that tighten it and let it go and breathe deep. Yeah, so that's a real easy, quick way to do a relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I suggest people do is, of course, sitting in a comfortable place. I guess we should have said that first. So if you didn't do that, get yourself in a comfortable place. Quick, do a couple more tight, getting tight and releasing. And shutting the eyes and just taking the time to go inside. So did you want me to lead a meditation?
Sure. Or if you want to do it now, that would be great.
Yeah, we can do that. So I'd say it'd be like 5 or 8 minutes.
Okay.
So just whatever's going on, imagine that can wait for 5 or 8 minutes, and I put a telephone telephones away or whatever needs to happen so that you can actually give yourself the time for this meditation. And get comfortable. And I wouldn't have the arms crossed or the legs crossed, and just have the feet on the ground. Yeah, so let's everybody get ready, and then we'll begin. And if you weren't ready before, just do it right now. And if anybody's really thirsty, it's a good idea to take a drink so the energy can flow. Yeah, and then anybody can catch up again and do the relaxation if you need to re-relax after getting prepared, because we're doing this kind of spontaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to assume everybody's got a position, and if you want to lay down, that's a possibility also, if you don't think you're going to fall asleep. So, just getting very relaxed, and I imagine a nice way to do it is even imagining that we're on like the 10th story of a building. And we're just going to be taking an elevator down and going deep. So this is kind of like a self-hypnosis technique.
Mm-hmm.
And imagining just sinking deeper into the chair or the floor, and the body's getting heavier. We're going from the 10th floor down to the 9th floor. And just breathing deep, releasing any tight areas, feeling deeper and deeper. Going down to the 8th floor and just like letting yourself feel heavier, more relaxed, and deeper. 7th floor, going down, deeper and deeper. 6th floor. Yeah, just feeling the gravity pulling down, relaxing more, getting more and more peaceful. Going to the 7th, 6th, 5th floor, 4th, the 3rd, and on the 1st floor, going to be totally relaxed, very deep. Going down to the 3rd, and the 2nd, and the 1st floor, being totally relaxed, very deep, very open, and sensitive and aware, going down to the 1st floor. So just feeling this weight down into the chair, down into the floor, and the peacefulness and the deeper relaxation. And in this place, getting in touch with your emotions, say feeling peaceful. There's only a couple of emotions, peaceful and happy, or sad, angry, and afraid. Just so feeling, being aware of emotions. Hopefully right now, one that's like peaceful and joyful. And being aware of any body sensations. So that would be feeling the temperature of the room, feeling the sensations of your back, your behind on the chair or on the floor. And be aware of feeling your heartbeat, your breath. So just becoming aware of the physical sensations. I'd like to ask everyone to think about a best friend. This might be a human being, or it might be an animal. And it might be somebody who's alive right now, or it might be somebody who's passed over to the other side. But to think of somebody that you absolutely love and that you may have seen recently or may not have seen for a long time. So whatever pops into your thoughts or into your heart as a longing, allow yourself to think of that person. Allow yourself to visualize imagining that person. And I'd like to have you go to a special place that you would love to meet with that person. So it might be outside, it might be inside, but let yourself become in that place, wherever is that special place that you want to meet this person, and visualize what that place is like. And sense yourself there, sense your breathing, sense your anticipation that you're going to be meeting this person. Sense the warmth of the place. And now I'd like you to visualize this special being that you love and you know they love you. And both of you absolutely love each other. So watch what happens in your body as you anticipate this meeting. And normally your breath would speed up a little bit. You'd feel an eagerness, you'd feel an excitement, joy, love. So sense your heart, what's happening in your heart. And just feel this anticipation of meeting this special being that you may have seen recently or not, or haven't seen for a long, long time. And visualize that they come into your space. And they're coming toward you, and you're coming toward them. And you run up to each other and embrace each other and hug each other and just feel your heart loving them and hold them with all your love and sense them holding you as you're holding them. So sense yourself being held. Hear yourself telling them, I love you. I love you with all my heart. And hear them telling you they love you with all their hearts. And feel how much they love you. Just feel all that love that they have for you coming into you. That as they are embracing you, you feel totally embraced with love. And as you're embracing them, your entire body is loving them. So just visualize them holding you, you holding them. Feel this love from them coming to you, from you going to them. And hear yourself telling them how much you love them and how much they love you. And just relish your being together. So take a half a minute and just really feel this incredible meeting together. And breathe in their love and breathe out all your love. Feel how grateful you are. And just continue to hold them and hug them and love them. And sense them holding you and hugging you and loving you. And feel how much you are loved. And how special special this is. And then I'd like for the two of you to now imagine that together you're going to go to a warm tropical island in the Caribbean or Hawaii, somewhere that's very warm, very lush, and visualize all the green vegetation that's all around the two of you, that magically you have just dropped right into a tropical paradise. And you're walking on dirt. Might even be red dirt. Or it might be dark brown dirt, but you're walking on the soft dirt in the tropics and feel the heat, sense the heat on your body. It's nice and warm, the sun's out, see the sun on the leaves, see the green of the leaves, the blue sky. And feel your breath. It's a little harder to breathe, but the air is a little bit moister in the tropics. Smell the sweetness of the tropics. And sense your body walking. And in the distance you hear water falling. So hear the water. There's a waterfall that you're walking toward. And the two of you are going together toward this waterfall. And then you're able to see the waterfall. And it's not too big. It's just large enough that it's inviting, that you want to get under this waterfall. And the two of you can get under it together, or you can take turns. But see yourself coming under the waterfall, and feel this nice warm water. It's like a shower coming down onto your head. You can feel the sensation that feels good. It's like a shower coming onto your head. So you can feel the pressure of it coming onto your head. And this is a special waterfall. This waterfall is the universal energy of love, of divine love, of divine light that's falling onto your head, and you can feel the pressure. Some people feel it as pressure. People feel it as almost like a magnetic pull coming down toward the earth, down to their feet. And some of you may see it as light, just white light or rainbows of light coming down inside your body. So sense it as this divine love coming down into your head. And I'll call in the awareness of God by whatever word you want to use. Of universal love, of Christ, Mary, Buddha, cosmic consciousness, energy, higher self, wisdom. Let's just use universal love. I'm calling in the angels and your guides to intensify these beings of light, to intensify this sensation of universal love pouring down into your heads, to all of our heads. Some of you may feel it just of a more being more dense, coming down, flowing from the head down through the top of the head, the center of the head, down through the neck, the shoulders. Just allow yourself to sense the sickening sensation. Some of you it might be a tingling. Some of you it's almost like magnetic. Coming down through the chest now. Some of you might be just a sickening or more of awareness coming down through the stomach. And at the same time, see it as light. Coming down through the top of the head, through the head, the neck, the chest. And also feel it as love. Just filling up your whole body from the head down. Come down through the chest, stomach. So feeling it as love, seeing it as light, and sensing it. Is this thickening? Is this magnetic draw down toward your feet? This pressure, this water. Coming down through the center of your body, down through the hips. The upper legs, the knees, the calves. Just keep sensing, visualizing. Keep feeling this love coming through your body. Keep hearing the water coming down and smelling this beauty of the jungle. The sweet smell, almost like roses, filling your entire being. And you may experience as a sensation, as visually as light. Feel it as love, hear it as water, smell it as sweetness. However your best modality, just allow yourself to have an experience of this divine love. And again, I'll call on our awareness be intensified by all the guides, angels, beings of light. Intensify this 500% even more for any of you that want it even more intensified, even stronger. You feel that, Lori?
Mm-hmm.
How is it that you experience this?
For me, it is a feeling, and my heart just expands, and the love just pours in and expands from inside and flows out as well.
Beautiful. Yeah, so everybody, notice your breath getting bigger. Notice your heart expanding with this love coming in. As I said, you can be doing this with this friend that's at the waterfall. So the two of you are feeling this universal love and feel this love you have for your friend that's right next to you and the love from your friend to you. And it's like this universal love is just like this best friend holding you, embracing you, talking to you. You may hear in the waterfall words saying, I love you. Just like you experience this best friend that's with you, this is how I experience the universal love. It's that intimate. It's that loving. It's just as real as this best friend with you. So feel God by whatever word, name you put on that, just as you did your best friend. And have it come through like this waterfall. Do you have any other sensations, Lori, or feelings, or visualizations of this?
You know, I can visualize, although predominantly I feel. So, you know, I can visualize everything that you've said and you know, see colors, and mostly what happens is just an expansion that, you know, sort of encompasses my space and, you know, all around me, and it just keeps expanding and expanding, but the heart feels this immense pleasure and openness and receiving.
Beautiful.
And I keep looking down at my little kitten here, who has a bit of a sinus problem, and thinking, well, what can we do for him other than send him love?
Yeah, have him in the waterfall with you. He's your special being that's with you, right?
And right with me, right on my lap.
Yeah, so he's in the waterfall too. So anybody who you can add a another special being with you. If you have any animals that you want to have with you in your water, in the waterfall, just being drenched with this universal love.
Yeah, he decided to come up in my lap just as we
started
doing all of this. So.
Yeah, so anybody can add your pets and animals to this waterfall of universal love coming into your body. And some people, you may feel it more, instead of sitting or lying, you may feel it more standing.
Mm.
So that's a way that you can get intensified. So again, we'll just ask these beings of light, angels, everyone's guides, to intensify it even more for those of you who want that. Intensify it another 500%. And try standing and you can experiment with that. If the standing helps the energy to flow. And some of you might even imagine that you're doing a handstand in the waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
That some people, that naturally the energy comes from the feet up. So if you don't feel it coming down, feel it coming up. So the waterfall is coming from the ground up, or you're doing a handstand. So if it's true for that, let's see, able, serving, committed, expect it, imagine it. Yeah, some folks it might take more practice. So if you feel anything, then that's right. That's mm-hmm. good. So just congratulate yourself for feeling anything, seeing anything, sensing anything, that wherever you are is perfect, and with practice, it just gets stronger.
Mm-hmm. That's lovely.
And you may have to pretend to begin with.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, fake it till you make it. And I know... I think that probably what put me on hold for years was I asked to see Christ, and I might have, and I think then I discounted the experience.
Mm.
So the best way to have the experience is to acknowledge it and be grateful for whatever it is and keep going with it and not wonder, well, was it or wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Just whatever it is, it
yes.
is it. And that helps build this trust, the just acknowledging it and receiving it and the gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the biggest thing that held me back for the first 39 years. Was the doubt, the constant doubt.
Yeah, I think it's a big one for a lot of people. I mean, I don't think that you're alone in that one. I think our ego gives us quite the story that we hold on to.
Oh, yeah. So Lori, if you, and you may have this all the time, but if you imagine that you have this sensation coming through you and you have this heart openness that's always with you and this love that you're feeling, how would that change your life? If this was an awareness that was always with you from now on? And I'm asking you as well as the
mm-hmm.
whole audience.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's take this experience and imagine that not only you continue this experience, but imagine that if you didn't have it as fully as you'd like, imagine that you could have it fully. For me, it's kind of like the Colorado River coming through me at times. It's so strong.
Mm.
It's like this flow, this energy, especially when I do the healing work, it's just like this stream. It is like a waterfall. It's just like whoosh, coming through me. And I've gotten to where I can just hear, as well as I hear you, Lori, it's like I hear voices talking to me, and I feel my heart just so full of love and loving that if people in the audience didn't have a full experience, well, if you could imagine having a full experience, how would that be for you to have this ongoing for the rest of life? So I'll include you and the whole audience
mm-hmm.
in on this question.
Well, I would say bliss. I mean, I can't say that I do this 100% of the time, but I certainly have had my moments and can call on this energy at will. But I would think that, you know, we get caught up in the illusion of this world, and we get caught up on the everyday things that occur that, you know, that take us out, or, you know, make us, you know, get too much into our thoughts or too much into our head, and we forget just how miraculous our lives are and how easy and effortless it can be when we're in this flow. And it's surprising that you know, that you keep forgetting.
Well, for, I'd say, yeah, so we forget, and what I found, what happened to me after this experience that I actually had at the Casa at Janagata in Brazil, mm-hmm. was a feeling of comfort, like this love was always with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm always, it's like I'm comforted. Even when there's disappointments, even when there's rejections, things go wrong, it's kind of like this stays with me, and I know I'm loved anyway, and my heart still feels love anyway, even if things aren't going the way I wish.
Right.
So there's an underlying feeling of love that's always with me, and that's what I've heard most audiences say, that their life is... They feel like if this was always with them, they'd have more relaxation, more comfort, more happiness, more bliss. That it's kind of like having a best friend with you all the time. Hmm. They're supporting you no matter what's happening.
Right. The unconditional love.
Yeah, the unconditional love. And that's how my life changed.
Hmm.
And that's I'd say the biggest goal of the Embracing the Miraculous book is attaining this spiritual health of feeling this constant love. And the emotional health would be feeling able to love in spite of external circumstances.
Right.
And knowing that we're all just beings of love, and that we can love even when... My son doesn't want to get off the computer. He's a teenager. Even when somebody disappoints us, that we can still love the being, even if we don't like the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've also found is that on the mental place, this comfort has given me the ability to know when I have guidance to do something, it will be successful.
Right.
I may not know how to succeed, but it's kind of like a knowing, oh yeah, somehow it's going to succeed because it's not me, it's me and the whole universe doing it.
Right.
So I have a new motivation and willingness to do things that before seemed impossible. Because
mm-hmm.
it's like this experience of the universe coming through me doing things.
Right. And again, it's because you have this... You know, you're living in alignment. You have 100% trust, and you just you've surrendered. I mean, your mantra almost is, you know, my will is your will. Is that what
it
is?
Thy will is my
thy will. Yeah.
What
thy
is,
will is my will.
This universal or higher self will? Yeah. And then I'd say what I've noticed is when we have this alignment, then the physical body is able to heal faster, because it's not just my love doing it. It's like the whole universal love is pouring in, helping me, and it's helping me clear the mental beliefs of separation. It's helping me clear the wounding, all the attitudes of not feeling loved, not thinking I'm loved or cared for, and instead I'm feeling loved, I'm feeling cared for. And to me, most diseases, I mean, I would guess that all diseases, there's a spiritual disconnect on all of them.
I would think so, yes.
And then emotionally, mentally, maybe 85% of the time it's caused by that. Because first the disease is in the aura, maybe 8 years before it's even in the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's in the chakras, the energy centers up and down the body. Then it's in the meridian system that's all throughout the body. before it ever hits the endocrine system or the physical body and having symptoms. So most people think that disease starts physical.
Mm-hmm.
And as a medical intuitive and also using the body scan, it will come up 8 years before it ever has a physical symptom.
Right.
Which means diseases can be prevented.
Absolutely.
We can actually heal the sources of what's going to create them before it ever gets created.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's really exciting about this.
I was going to say,
this is a way to prevent being sick.
Mm-hmm. It is very exciting. I mean, that's the second part of your book, is talking about, you know, attaining optimal health on all levels and the holistic approach, which is, you know, combining all of our emotion, mental, physical, and spiritual aspects to create a more holistic well-being versus, you know, the band-aids that aren't the medical profession seems to, you know, give us. And it's feeding the source, or it's feeding the symptoms instead of looking at the source.
Oh yeah, yeah. And when somebody comes to me and they have an imbalance, I'll go in and I'll find what the mental attitude is. I'll find what the emotions that are related to it, what the spiritual lesson is, and then I'll give people psychological homework, and they will feel a difference during the session. I'll use my background of Chinese energetics to do reprogramming on the nervous system. Christ comes through and does a psychic surgery, and I also use, as a medical intuitive and with this body scan, I'll create a homeopathic remedy so the person has the physical support.
Mm.
And then that way they have like the physical support with the homeopathy, that they'll have the mental change with their attitudes, they'll have the emotional support with the homework, and they'll know the spiritual lesson. And pretty well, I can do that in 2 hours.
Mm. So, and can you do this via distance, or do you have to have...
It can be done over the phone. I've had lawyers and accountants that I actually do it on them while they're working on their clients. I'm working on them. I mean, people who are really busy, we don't even use the telephone.
Wow.
It is fun for me to use the telephone,
mm-hmm.
for people who aren't that busy that they can actually work with me,
right.
on the phone. So, yeah, it's the same for me whether they're on the phone or they're sitting in my office.
Right.
Hooked to the body scan, it doesn't make any difference to me. If it makes a difference for them, then they're welcome to see me physically.
Hmm.
But I do like evaluations for people who want just a quick evaluation. I do that for $75. I go in as a medical intuitive and I go through all the body systems, the organs, the pathogens like bacteria, virus, nice. Parasites, fungus, heavy metals, food allergies, and the phases of health. There's 12 phases of health, and the acid, alkaline, and vitamins and minerals. I go through all of that, and that's $75.
Very reasonable.
What's even better is the two-hour session, where not only do they get an evaluation, they get the resolution and the support so that they're balanced. And I'm able to even guarantee that people will feel or sense a healing change during the session, or people don't pay.
Well,
and normally within 15 minutes, I'll know if somebody is able to sense or feel.
And also you'll know if there's blocks that they need to work
through. Yeah, and once in a while there might be somebody who's so numbed out they can't sense or feel, and then they can choose whether to continue or not the session.
Right. And what about children or pets or...
Oh, yeah, I do that, too. I had one mom who had a baby who for the first, like, 6 months was just every night not sleeping. It was like Chinese torture. So, and her kid was so young, I just had her tune into her child and then worked on her child via her body. And as it turned out, the baby was picking up some unresolved issues the mother had with abuse, and so I did a healing on both of them, and they both were able to sleep from that night on.
Wow.
So that was neat, and I've also worked with animals. I had a dog just the other week who was in a fire and coughing terribly, and did a healing on him so that he's not coughing all the time now. Mm. Yeah, so no, I work. It's possible to work on anything.
Well,
anybody.
And again, some of them has been training that you've taken, like with the body scan and homeopathy and the psychic surgery, I would say is more of you opening up and allowing divine intervention.
Yeah, yeah. The divine just comes through, this universal energy. I call it Christ.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's...
Well,
I mean,
if you're going to pick a healer, you may as well pick Christ, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes I see Christ. Sometimes I've seen Mary. Sometimes it might even be Buddha. And sometimes it's just hands. I don't know who it is, but the person feels different. So I do that, and I teach classes on this book. Actually, November 8th and 9th will be a class in Denver.
Nice.
So if anybody wants to come to that, and at the moment I have a special where if somebody wants to do the class is normally $500, and the comprehensive energetic assessment is $225. $725. I'm doing the whole thing for $575 if somebody wants to do the package as a kind of special, being a radio special.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah, so we have a radio special going on at this moment.
And you also look at diet and exercise?
Yeah, and lifestyle and support.
The emotional issues that we have, that we carry.
Yeah, people can go to my website. It tells everything that I do and explains it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's holistictherapiesinc.com.
Nice.
So holistictherapiesinc.com. And on that, I have several movies. And one is, I had some people that I didn't know. I gave donation meditations to. And first they went and we got a blood sample from a professional dark-field microscopist. And then I did that meditation that we just did today with meeting your friend and going under the waterfall. And then we did an after blood sample. And the blood went from red blood cells that you couldn't even tell the difference. They were so packed together to being individuated, round, and moving, like healthy, normal blood.
Mm.
And it was phenomenal. It was like a total miracle. And that was just with this universal love coming through. So everyone's invited. It's called Proving God, Universal Love Heals. Everyone's invited to see that. It's like a 6-minute little video clip. It just has part of the meditation, and people can keep experiencing that meditation. But that's how powerful this universal love is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have a movie with 3 clients, one that came in with prostate cancer and couldn't hardly urinate because of the inflammation, and after the session was able to have a full urination.
Wow.
One gal came in with 160 blood pressure and left with 120, and a fellow who'd had pain for 20 years, could hardly move, could move and couldn't feel the pain at the end of the session.
Wow.
So that was just one afternoon that I happened to have the camera at my office. So that's an example of the kind of healing that happens.
Right. Well, that's amazing, and I think you're doing... you know, incredible work, and I hope that many people get to pick up your book and learn a little bit about stuff that they can do on their own, because your book is full of exercises and meditations to get all of this stuff.
And the book, they can order that on Amazon. They can order it from Blue Dolphin Publishing .com, and they can order it from myself at $16.95 or $17, and then $2 for shipping. $17.95, so that's like $20. If people order it personally from me, then I will endorse the book, I'll autograph the book and tune into them and see what God has me put on the book.
Nice.
So that's kind of like a bonus if it's ordered direct. And I also will tell them what phase of health they're in. So that's my bonus for if anyone wants to order the book. So they can contact me at my email, deepika@holistictherapiesinc.com.
Great. Well, I thank you very much. Very enjoyable interview.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate being on today.
Great. Even though it was unexpected.
Yeah, I'm got the date mixed up.
Busy life you hold. But you also were just with Joan of God, so sounds like
I was out of the time, and I was off the calendar.
You've been off the grid for a while.
I've been off the grid. Well, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
I appreciate the understanding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much. Look forward to hearing from anyone. Feel free to email me or go to my website, holistictherapiesinc.com.
Great. All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Lori.
Bye.